Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This interview contains discussions around pregnancy loss, so listener discretion is advised. We're moving into a really important conversation now, one that isn't talked about nearly enough. Miscarriage affects so many families, but the emotional impact and the need for proper support is often overlooked. Recently, there's been a significant change in Northern Ireland, where parents are now entitled to paid leave after a miscarriage, something that doesn't currently exist here in the Republic of Ireland, where many grieving parents are left relying on sick leave or annual leave instead. To help us understand the emotional reality behind this and what real support should look like, I'm joined by fertility coach Helena Tuberty. Helena, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you so much for chatting with us this evening about this. And obviously, it goes without saying, miscarriage is something that so many people go through, but in silence. Why do you think it's still so difficult for us to talk about it?
For starters, I tend to use the word pregnancy loss to more accurately describe it. Miscarriage sounds as if it's been something a little bit careless. It's a very old-fashioned term, but it is commonly used. And I guess, you know, it's the loss of a baby that nobody has met, nobody has known. So it's a very hidden grief. It's also the loss of a future. You know, you're counting the weeks, you're getting all the adverts for every different week of a pregnancy, and you're anticipating a birth. The, you know, the joy, the delight, the balloons, the cards, getting to know a baby, all the lovely things that happen. And suddenly this is, it's like a withdrawal. It's withdrawn suddenly. And people may have known that you're pregnant. You may have had work colleagues pregnant at the same time, a sister pregnant. And you're suddenly, I guess, it's such a horrifically devastating loss that people are inclined to not have words. They're afraid to upset you, all of that. So, you know, from the minute you get a positive pregnancy test, you're not just pregnant in a medical condition type of way. You're having a baby. You may have planned it. You may have been through fertility treatment. You may have had previous pregnancy losses. So it's incredibly lonely and isolating. And there's no funeral. There's no rituals. There's no protocols for what you say. We don't have the language for it, really. So most people end up grieving and mourning in nearly in complete silence. And the whole thing to be normal, act normal, don't be different, don't be out of step with everyone else is absolutely huge. And because it's wrapped up in fertility, you know, your being as a woman, as a parent, as a guy, you know, about your age, did you leave it too late? Did you have a cup of coffee? All of that. Did I do something wrong? Did I not deserve this? It's wrapped up in your self-worth. And there's a narrative of my body failed, my uterus couldn't hold and nurture this pregnancy, or for others, I left it too late. You know, our culture is inclined to celebrate the bump, you know, all the bump pictures and everything, and the birth and all of that. And the very real fact of pregnancy loss being sadly, you know, when I say common, that sounds horrible, but the fact that it does happen a lot, the silence kind of compounds the stigma. And we're very much afraid of going near taboo subjects, aren't we?
That seems to be the understatement with everything in society. We don't want to go near these things. And this particular subject of conversation is so emotional and creates such a visceral response from people because it is so challenging. But do you think awareness is improving at all?
We're discussing it a lot more, and we also have a fantastic pregnancy loss research group down in Cork. We have a fantastic Keelan O'Donoghue, who is a professor down there, you know, going around all the hospitals, training and teaching how to work with women, with couples who've had pregnancy loss. the, you know, our, even our hospitals, you know, you can go in and have a scan and discover that there is no heartbeat, which is tragic. And you are returned to face a waiting room full of very pregnant women. So it's, you know, what the questions people ask. So the Pregnancy Loss Research Group is doing massive work. Thalacon is a superb charity. They've been working to get a certificate of loss to know that you've had this little one, that they existed, they were precious, they were special. And I guess, you know, programs like yours are doing absolute wonders, because until you've had a pregnancy loss, you sometimes don't realize it could happen you. You know, in my work, I hear, I never ever imagined it would happen to me. I'd heard about it. It was in the distance. I thought pregnancy, I thought it was just like maybe a heavy period. I didn't realize that it could be like a mini labor. I didn't realize I could bleed so much. I didn't realize I would need to take medications. I didn't realize it could take 2 or 3 weeks to pass. I didn't realize I could be back at work. I didn't realize that there could be so much pain. I didn't realize I would feel so emotionally devastated and so discombobulated. So there's a lot of lack of understanding, and people see it as a medical event. You know, there was a pregnancy, now there isn't. And it's like, okay, what's next? And even if it has been after a fertility treatment, there's a sense of, okay, your next cycle. And it's kind of like, whoa, you know, we are bereaved parents. It's an invisible grief. So I guess the awareness is improving. And, you know, women actually talking about their losses. It used to be a thing that you didn't mention you'd had a pregnancy loss. You didn't, you know, the question, how many kids do you have? It's kind of like, well, you know, I have two. But you wouldn't mention, well, actually, you know, we had 2 or 3 losses. It was just, you know, so taboo. So I think there is a fantastic openness and awareness with my younger clients. And they are well able. They are not snowflakes. They are not afraid of reality. In fact, they want to know. They want to know what can be and how to be slightly prepared for it, or how to support somebody else, you know, in family or perhaps at work, a colleague.
In Northern Ireland at the minute, parents are now entitled to 2 weeks paid leave after a pregnancy loss. What was your initial reaction to that change?
Well, I guess I was absolutely delighted to hear it. I was very relieved. I was a bit envious as well, because, you know, 2 weeks paid leave is, it's a very clear statement that pregnancy loss is a bereavement. It is a life event, a momentous one. Now, again, not for everybody. Some people, you know, it's a different passage, if you will. But for many people, it's incredibly serious. 2 weeks, I would say, is marvelous. It's a start. It's very little, in actual fact. I hate to be Cassandra or rain on anyone's parade, but really and truly, you know, a month, 6 weeks, you cannot expect somebody to be bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, healed after 2 weeks. Your body may not even have recovered. You may not have even finished miscarrying. You may still need a DNC, a surgical procedure to, you know, finally clear the uterus. So and having been pregnant, the pregnancy hormones, your body takes a while to catch up with a pregnancy loss. So I do think it's wonderful, but I really wouldn't want anyone to feel, well, I've got to be normal now, or any line managers to say, like, what's your problem? You know, you've had your 2 weeks, you should be fine.
In Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland then, parents, they have to rely on the likes of sick leave and even annual leave if they're stuck in a situation like that to move through those initial couple of weeks after something like that has happened. What message do you think that's sending to people about how pregnancy loss is viewed in the Republic of Ireland?
Well, I do think that it really puts people in such a weak position. If they have a good GP, or if they have their OBGYN who really understands, they have to be proactive. They have to advocate for themselves at a time, at their most vulnerable time. That shouldn't be. Now, some companies, I do quite a lot of corporate talks discussing all of these matters, and some companies are bringing in fertility and miscarriage leave. And it's wonderful and it's, you know, absolutely brilliant. But something like 8 days, 8 days is so little. And, you know, dragging yourself back to work when you're physically feeling absolutely dreadful and when you're emotionally all over the place, it's a huge ask. So I do think that we really need to catch up fairly quickly. It's not, you know, when you think of it, pregnancy loss doesn't just happen to one body. It's a whole family system. You know, there's a partner, there's another half who may be a man or a woman, maybe same sex. There may be other children in the family. There may have been, you know, previous miscarriages. So a partner can be grieving deeply, but they've got to kind of keep the show on the road. And both partners need time off. They need to meet their, you know, have the conversations. They need to do their grieving. They need to discuss next steps. What are they going to do now? You know, and it helps couples to nurture their relationship because, you know, it can take quite a battering. Often in grief, two people will be on a different page at a different time. They grieve differently. And, you know, one is trying to support the other and may not be doing it in a way that is, you know, most helpful. Your partner is not a mind reader. Your partner is not your counselor at the end of the day, however good they are. And most people are marvelous. But all of that needs to be taken into consideration. So I see it as a public health issue that, you know, for the whole country, for all our taxpayers to be able to go to work and pay taxes, that we need to look after them properly at all stages of life. And, you know, not to rely on companies to do it. When it's standardized, nobody is going to mistreat the system. You know, nobody's going to take any more or play it. It really doesn't happen like that. When people feel supported like they are in other countries, they can heal more quickly. They can recover more quickly. And, you know, it reduces that pressure on them.
Talk me through your book, which is coming out next June, which I know touches on a lot of this, because I'm sure if there's someone listening to this evening who's been through pregnancy loss in their own life, they'll be particularly looking for avenues on how to emotionally and physically support themselves and their partner during a time of pregnancy loss.
So my book is called Still Trying to Conceive, because most people come to me when they've been down the road. They've had failed cycles, they've been doing restorative reproductive medicine, they've been having IVF that has failed. They may have had miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or recurrent pregnancy loss. So many different avenues. So this is an intelligent guide to navigating fertility and IVF treatment. In other words, it is looking beyond just the facts and the figures of the physicality of hormone levels, of the depth of a uterine lining, of the next cycle. Beyond that sort of reductive angle, this is the emotional aspect. And I do talk about miscarriage because I think people should know the different types of miscarriage, what it can be like, what you can feel, what you can do, and how to begin to process this loss, how to integrate it into your life, and then how to move into perhaps the next steps, next options with a clear head, and that there's no hangover effect going into another pregnancy, and reducing that anxiety, because there's nothing, you know, when you're pregnant again and it's like, will I make it to the 6 weeks or the 8 weeks or the 10 weeks? You know, walking on eggshells, looking for the next scan. So this book is based on my 35 years of practice in helping people to manage that anxiety. It's trauma-informed care. So I use EMDR, I use hypnotherapy. So it's fast. So giving people a framework within this book of, you know, how it can be managed. And the fact that it's not weakness, it's not a feebleness in reaching out for some help, that is strategic and targeted and experienced and understanding. You know, that they're not, I work in what, maybe 5, 6, 7 sessions. So it's really speedy and people aren't locked into anything. Realizing that it's often beyond their control chromosomal issues are very common. Mm. So it's not the fact that you had a cup of coffee or, you know, you didn't go to bed early or, you know, whatever like that. The reducing that sense of guilt and shame is really, really important. So that's what this book really is like. Some concrete tools to help people get through it as well.
Where can we find you online if someone's been listening to you this evening and they feel really inspired and connected with what you have said and they relate to it? Where can we find you websites-wise, social media?
My website is helenatubridy.com and, of course, Instagram, Helena Tubridy. And I do free 10-minute discovery calls to see where somebody's at and if I can help them or give them advice there on the spot to just mm-hmm. help a little bit. So very, very welcome to that. And my book is out early June, so follow me for more there.
Helena, thank you so much for chatting with us about this on the show. I really appreciate it, and you do really bring like a wealth of expertise and knowledge with you on this and such a kind heart with it. So thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm sure we will chat again on the show sometime.
Thank you so much, Valerie.